draw me close. May that be our prayer today as we spend these times looking at His Word. By the way, grab your bulletins and we're going to look at that passage that's there and from James chapter 3. Or you can grab your Bibles as well if you've got that with you and turn to James 3. We're going to get there in a few minutes. Before I do that, though, I do want to say welcome to those of you that are here and think, man, it's 10:30. What are they doing in here? But it's really 11:30-ish. And so it's great to worship and great to be here and great to be part of God's kingdom and what God's doing. You know, the question for this morning as I read that passage from James is, what is wisdom? How do you get wisdom? How do you go about gaining wisdom? Is it just a matter of age and growing up and getting smarter and knowing more information? What is this thing that's all about wisdom? What does that mean? What does it look like? And how do we live wisely in the world in which we live? And, you know, I guess you can find wisdom in all sorts of different places. In fact, there's some kids can be pretty wise sometimes. Let me give you an example. 10-year-old Patrick. Here's his wisdom for the day. Never trust a dog to watch your food. So true, right? Michael, 14 years old. When your dad's mad and asks you, "Do I look stupid?" don't answer him. Michael again said, "Never tell your mom that her diet's not working." There's some real wisdom there. How about this one? And I don't get this one, to be honest with you. I don't understand how a 9-year-old would know this. But Randy, 9 years old, says, "Stay away from prunes." I was just thinking about 9 years old. Kennedy, did you notice Kennedy was here this morning? Did you see? Oh, you did. You saw her hug me? Yes. That's so fun. So cool to have her here. By the way, 9 years old, Lauren, here's her wisdom. Felt markers are not good to use for lipstick. I'm sure that's probably true. And Naomi, who's also 9, can tell you from experience that neither is mom's fingernail polish. Where's Matt? Is Matt gone? Oh, that's too bad. Jack's gone? Oh, that's too bad. Listen, 9 years old, Joel, 9 years old, here's what he learned. Don't pick on your sister when she's holding a baseball bat. There's some real wisdom in that. And this may be my favorite. A little 8-year-old girl, she said, "Never try to baptize a cat." I can't even imagine what that must have been like. You know, we live in this information age, right? We live in where it's almost information overload. I don't know if you're aware of this, but at the turn of the 20th century, all knowledge and transmitted, or all information transmitted knowledge was doubling every 100 years. So at the turn of the 20th century, in the year, we went into the 20th century in 1900, all information and knowledge was doubling at the rate of once every 100 years. By the time we got past World War II, 1945-ish, it was doubling every 25 years. Now this is all information, all transmitted knowledge. Suddenly it's 25 years. By the time we got to the dawn of the 21st century, information was doubling every 18 months. Here we are, 20 years later, 19 years later. What do you think the doubling rate is now of information? Would you believe this? 8 to 12 hours. So the stuff that we knew at midnight last night, it's doubled. The amount of information and knowledge in the world in which we live, it's crazy. Most people search Google. to find that information. You think about just Google. You know, when I first started using Google, was that 4 or 5 years ago? I don't know, 6 years ago? You know, you'd pull something up, you ask it a question, you pull something up that maybe, I don't know, 25, 30,000 websites, right? That we relate to that piece of information. Now, at each of those websites, millions of websites have information about whatever question you want to ask. But it still comes back, okay, we live in this world of information overload. We live in this world where information is available by talking to a microphone thing in a speaker in your house, or talking to your watch, or, you know, Dick Tracy stuff. I mean, really? I mean, we go from all that to the question of wisdom. What is wisdom? Because, I mean, listen, I'm convinced, and the scriptures convince me, that wisdom and information are not the same thing. We have a lot of information. We can be very intelligent. We can have a lot of knowledge. That doesn't mean that we're wise. And so we're going to talk about this because James lays it out there again. He says, all right, look, y'all, we need to understand this is what we're talking about. When he starts talking about this real faith and real life thing that he's trying to kick around, James just does not let up, does he? I don't know if you've ever, you know, spent much time in the letter of James. But I'm telling you, the guy never lets up. It's one section to the next. He's got something to say to us about how to live life as a follower of Jesus. I mean, last week it was about how to control the runaway tongue. You know, that sometimes that gets away from us and we let, you know, we say stuff, we do stuff. We gotta be careful in how we say what we say. And that was what last week was all about. Well, then he gets to this part. It's about wisdom. In verse 30, and listen, here's the other thing. He's already talked about wisdom, hasn't he? I mean, it was in the very first chapter. You know, if you're going through life struggles, if you're going through life problems, if you're just having a tough time getting from day to day to day, you know, James says in verse 5 of chapter 1, just ask God. He's a generous God. And when you're struggling with life, he's one that has the answers. He says, come on, I'll take care of that for you. I'll answer that for you. And you can trust me in the midst of the processes, in the midst of all that's going on. Then we come to verse 13. Look at that passage in your bulletin this morning. In verse 13, the New Living Translation kind of makes a statement. But in other translations, it's a question. And the question is, who is wise and understanding amongst you? Who is wise and understanding amongst you? James is like asking this question. All right, look, you know, I'm writing to some pretty smart people here. I'm writing to some people that have life together, supposedly. So who is really wise and understanding among you? The New Living Translation says, if you're wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, by doing good works. That's what Mel talked about from, you know, a couple weeks ago. With the humility that comes from wisdom. And I like the way the message says it. Live well, live wisely, live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way that you talk, that counts. And I'm wondering if James was just thinking about, as he was writing these words, the humbleness and the gentleness and the way that Jesus approached life. You know, Jesus was his half-brother, and they spent a lot of time together. So I'm just wondering if he was kind of reflecting on all that as he wrote these words about living with humility and living with gentleness. Because Jesus, for the most part, when we see Jesus interacting with the religious leaders of the day, I mean, there are a couple times he let them have it. But for the most part, I mean, you think about how Jesus dealt with these religious leaders of the day, the Roman Empire of the day. I mean, he was very gentle, very kind, and very loving, and very caring as he dealt with people. And a couple times, maybe not so much, but he was trying to get a point across. You know, he was trying to lead them to a place where they had to make decisions. And James is saying, look, all right, we got a decision to make. We're followers of Jesus. We have a decision to make. James is talking to, he's addressing once again you and me as followers of Jesus. He said, look, live wise lives. Be wise in how you interact with people. Gentle and humble and God-driven wisdom. James says it's one thing to claim to be wise, but it's another thing to live to be wise. It's kind of like the saying that we've seen about talking the talk and walking the walk, right? You know, it's one thing to talk the talk, but it's a whole different thing to walk the walk. And that's what James is driving at here. He says, look, as a church, as the people of God, as followers of Jesus, we have a choice that we're going to have to make here about this wisdom thing. And he's going to lay it out for us here in just a moment. He says there are two choices, really, when it comes to this wisdom. Two choices that you and I have to make, what we're going to do and how we're going to live life. One is to live with worldly wisdom. Look at verses 14 to 16. But if you're bitterly jealous and there's selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly and unspiritual and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every kind, and evil of every kind. So this wisdom, this worldly wisdom he's talking about here, is not God's kind of wisdom. It's an earthly or a human-driven wisdom. And listen, our world is full of it. People who think because they're smart, because they have 100 degrees on their wall, that they're wise, and they're not wise. It doesn't matter if you talk about politics, or you talk about business, or you talk about the entertainment industry, or in daily life. If we try to live life with worldly wisdom, it'll be chaotic at best. We'll live in a chaos takes over because everyone is doing what is right in their own eyes. Authority is questioned. Authority is disobeyed. Authority is despised. And sadly, that even creeps into the church. The church becomes ineffective and disorganized as a result. And it's that wisdom that's driven by the culture in which we live that pushes us to look for our own best answers and best solutions to issues going on in our lives. Our way of doing something or having an attitude that, hey, God is really cool, but God is only really cool when I want him to be cool. You know, I'm going to put God on the shelf and God's going to stay on that shelf until I really need him. And if I need him, I'll call on him. But he doesn't need to be interfering in my everyday life. You know, that's the kind of worldly wisdom James is talking about here. Saying, look, that can't be. I mean, that's one of the choices, but man, it's not a good choice. This worldly wisdom is a wisdom that measures success in earthly or cultural terms. You know, people, what do people look at today as successful? They got a lot of money. They got a lot of possessions. They've got a great job. You know, that's successful in the eyes of the world. James, whoa, that's time out. That's not what we're talking about here. I mean, that's one of the choices you can make. Not a good one, but it's one of them. He says this wisdom, this worldly wisdom, is a wisdom that really doesn't believe or care what God has said. Worldly wisdom could care less what's in this book. How many people have you met in your everyday, workaday worlds, in the places where you live, in your neighborhoods, people you hang out with, maybe even your own families, that really don't care what the Bible says? This is not their starting point. I run into people all the time that this is not where they start life. Not a biblical worldview. It's what they call a secular worldview. It's, how can I make this better on my own? How can I do this? How can I be better on my own? How can I come up with my own solutions to life's problems? Worldly wisdom is a wisdom that's a characteristic of someone who's living life far from God on purpose. And we all know people like that, who are living life with worldly wisdom rampant in what they do and who they are. And what James says is that this worldly wisdom, that its source is demonic. Its source is the devil. Its source is directed by the enemy of our souls, who is a liar, and in fact is the father of lies. That he's the great deceiver. He's the author of chaos and disorder and every sort of evil practice. That's the source of worldly wisdom. From that source, from the enemy, comes unspiritual thoughts and ideas. That's what the passage says. James is laying it out. Bitter jealousy, selfish ambition. I don't need to explain those, right? We all know what that looks like and what it feels like. All we have to do is look around. We live in a culture that says, whatever I want to do, whatever I want to think, whatever I think is good enough or right, that's good enough. Listen, I can tell you, and I don't have to tell you, you know as well as I know that our culture is leading us down the slipperiest of slopes. And James, in this passage of Scripture, is pleading with the church that it not be so. This is 2,000 years ago, church. It's not gotten better. He says, we have a choice to make. We can live with this worldly wisdom leading us and guiding us and taking us down this slippery slope, or there's another alternative. He says it's a wisdom from above. A wisdom from above. Verses 17 and 18. Take a look at this. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, it's peace-loving, it's gentle at all times, willing to yield to others, it is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds, it shows no favoritism, it's always sincere, and those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. And I've included in there what it says and how it kind of breaks that down in the message as well. But James says the wisdom from above, which is the alternative choice here, we can have worldly wisdom or wisdom from above. You got to choose one. Wisdom from above, from God, is pure. It means it's without flaw. It's holiness. Wisdom that comes from God is pure and holy because God himself is pure and holy. It requires us to live in grace and a place of repentance on a daily basis. Because of our own brokenness and our own faults. What I'm saying is, it doesn't mean we get it perfect every day. We make mistakes. We mess up. But it's living into it. It's doing all we can do to live in holiness, to live in purity before God. So that requires us to receive God's grace on a daily basis. That requires us to be in a place of repentance at a moment's notice. The wisdom from above, from God, is peace-loving. And that's only possible when we find our own peace with God. We can't be peace-loving until we've experienced the peace of God in our own lives. And maybe there's somebody here this morning that you've never experienced that peace of God in your life. And you can do that today. You can make that choice today. We live that out. We live out this peace-loving thing by guarding our tongues, by avoiding argumentative situations with people, by being patient with others, by receiving God's love and God's grace, and then in turn extending that out to other people. And the next one he says is this wisdom from above is gentle. As somebody said, it's kind of a sweet reasonableness. It's the ability to extend kindness to others when we live in such a non-kind world. Willing to yield. Wisdom from above is willing to yield. How many of you have ever heard my way or the highway? Anybody? I was going to say, anybody have that as your mantra, but I won't do that. You know, I wonder sometimes people who say my way or the highway, they must be very lonely people. To not have a teachable spirit, to not be able to open to somebody trying to help them improve. And James is saying, look, this wisdom that God gives is a yielded wisdom. We are open to being teachable, open to hearing what God wants to say, open to knowing whatever it is that God wants to say and through whomever God wants to say it. It's full of mercy. Wisdom from God is full of mercy and good fruits. It means to be controlled by mercy. You know what mercy is? Mercy is not getting what we deserve. What do you and I deserve every day? Not what we have. We are blessed people. We are blessed people. To be able to get up in the morning and to breathe. To be able to get up in the morning and to be able to see and see that grass is getting greener. Skies are blue once in every week or so. To see that the snow comes, that the rain comes. I mean, we are blessed people. To be able to be in relationships with others. We are blessed people. We don't deserve it. And that's what mercy is. And because of that mercy in our own lives, we extend that mercy to other people. I love what a friend of mine used to, I'd say, hey, how you doing? He says, better than I deserve. I love that answer. Because that's the answer that all of us have every day. We're better than we deserve. That's mercy. That's God's mercy at work in our lives on a daily basis. God, the wisdom that comes from God is a life without partiality, without hypocrisy. It's not saying, look, you don't come from the right side of the track, so you're not welcome here. It's saying, look, come on. God's grace is available to all. We don't care where you come from, what's going on in your life, where you're living, who you're hanging out with. Doesn't matter. Didn't matter to Jesus. Why does it matter to us? Wisdom from above is living without partiality and without hypocrisy. It's way more than just having a bunch of information. It's way more than having a bunch of degrees. You know, I got to tell you, when 7 years ago, I had a heart procedure, and I Actually, this happened again just a couple of years ago. You may remember that. In 2016, I had another heart procedure where they had to go in and take out the lead wires that were in my heart and put new ones in, and then put the defibrillator back in. And, you know, when I first had it done 13 years ago, it wasn't a big deal to me. I mean, I just trusted the doctor, said, you tell me who to go to, and that's where I'm going to go. I got to tell you this. When they start talking about taking wires out and putting wires back in, when they start talking about this is serious stuff and it could be bad if it doesn't work, I mean, I was paying attention. And I didn't care how many degrees that guy had on his wall. And he had a lot of them. I didn't care. What I cared about was his information, was his smarts translating into wisdom and in his practice. Had he done it more than one time? Was I the new kid on the block? That's what I cared about. That's what I wanted to know. That he wasn't just smart, that he was wise because he had practiced it over and over and over again. James says, look, church, you got a choice. We can say, we can buy into what the world wants us to give us. We can buy into that if we want to. It'll be temporary. It'll be fleeting. The end will be bad. It'll be destructive. But you can buy into it if you want to. Or you can choose godly wisdom. I can't choose it for you. You can't choose it for me. We all have a choice. What's our choice going to be today? Will you pray with me? God, our heart's desire is that we make a great choice here. Our desire is that your Spirit would move in this place and move in our hearts. Help us to hear what your word says. Help us to walk out of this place intent on doing the right thing. That thing that brings you glory and brings you honor and brings you praise. Help us to choose wisely. In Jesus' name.